You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
All right, so Sue looks like he'll be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Gerald McCoy, Saints, Pats, Chargers, Browns, they're all after his services. Saints OTAs underway. Actually, number one in the books. We'll get to see Thursday's OTA, and we will get to see the 30th and the 6th. It's always the Thursday of the three-day organized team training activities, however it is you want to look at it and call it. Then you have the mini camp, the 11th through the 13th. In the past, historically, that's been open to the public. You'll get your first chance as fans. If you want to, you know, have a doctor's appointment, skip lunch, get out there and sweat a little bit and check out your black and gold. A couple of storylines. We spoke with Larry Holder of The Athletic. Some of the top five storylines we came up with was the center battle, right? Eric McCoy, Nick Easton, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Keep an eye on him. He stood out in rookie minicamp. Let's see what happens now with the vets, right? Wide receivers, calling anybody. Meredith Smith, my God, LeJohn Humphrey, Keith Kirkwood, Trayvon Darrow. Let's see what takes place. Again, we don't want to over-exaggerate or get into it, but it's the first of just a couple of weeks of practice before they have that six-week dead period. Boom. And then you have, of course, the training camp that starts at the end of July, beginning of August. Tight end Jared Cook. We'll finally get to see how they're using him and things of that nature. And number five, Marcus Davenport. It's going to be difficult because you want to see how healthy he is. You want to see if there's progress. Last year around this time, Armstead was having him. I mean, he was having him for lunch. I mean, he was just eating. He self-fed mentally. I can't beat this guy. I don't know what it is. So it'll be interesting to hear how he feels he's progressing, because quite honestly, until there's a game and he can sack somebody or make a stop, it's going to be kind of hard to keep an eye on. But anyway, that's kind of what's going on. We spoke with Chris Blair at 1:30. LSU, South Carolina, sometime around an 8 o'clock start. Already the Aggies took care of Florida by one in 10 innings, 8-7. Tulane, we just spoke with Gary Smith of the Advocate. They will play UCF at some time tonight before midnight, after 8, to preview that series. Andrew Lopez, Tom Spicchione, NOLA.com. You should know that name. He's been on our show several times in years now, Andrew, right? Yeah. The prep scene, LSU, Pelicans. Did I get that right? The three things that you did at the Picayune?
That's pretty much it. I think when I was a Picayune, when I was doing preps, I pretty much did everything.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I tell people the only thing I haven't done for the Picayune is like cover horse racing.
Right.
But I used to input that in, like when I was in the office. I've got everything covered at one point. One point or another.
You know, it's basically the makings of a show host. I mean, that's what it is.
I like where your head's at right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, Andrew, it's what it is. You got to know just a little bit about a lot of different things, and all of a sudden, then you take that to the next level, like First Take, and then you do it authoritatively, like you know what it is that you're saying.
That's a lot of it. It's that authoritative, and it's... Yeah. You might not know, but you got to pretend like you know.
Exactly.
And that's
right.
What you
got
to do.
Except for sometimes, you know, when when it just, you know, what was it, Screamin' A says, like, certain players are playing and they haven't on a while.
Guys who have torn their ACL or other heads who decide that the Pels and the Saints still share
Who's that, Max? Absolutely, yes.
They still share a...
Share everything.
They still share a training staff.
Yep.
And they're cheap and all this kind of stuff.
Exactly right. And look, and I understand that there's history, and a lot of times you only understand how to do that. But again, we've had a lot of fun the last week.
Yeah.
Because, as I always say, don't let the facts get in the way of your narrative. But we'll get to that in a quick sec. The reason I went through your history, obviously, man, because I've had you on before, and we've talked about recruiting classes and some of the kids that we've seen, not just with football, but baseball you're seeing as well, and basketball, the prep scene. Is it still sort of incredible to sort of see? I mean, this past LSU recruiting class was incredible, and a lot of it was locally homegrown. I don't know if you paid attention to the NFL draft this year. You're covering hoops. I get it. But the first, we're doing the draft show at Hooters, and we're waiting for the Saints to pick, right? So early, you know, second
you
round
did,
there.
You did have a wait. You
right.
Did
have but quite while the we're wait. Waiting, it was Marrero. It was, you know, Denham Springs. I mean, I think there were five Louisiana kids taken They didn't play with LSU, but I mean, there were five Louisiana-born players taken in the first 45, 52 picks. I mean, it's incredible when you think of it.
Yeah, Devin White from North Webster, obviously North Louisiana. Greedy ends up going eventually.
Right.
Jerry Tillery was there from Shreveport. He played at Notre Dame. Irv Smith, obviously, from right here.
So he knows
Martin.
Him off the top of his head.
So you had it's weird because I remember watching and doing their recruitment stories.
Wow.
I remember calling Jerry Tillery, I think, from a parking lot in Baton Rouge because I was driving home from something. And this was still, 2013, I think, when he committed. And he's asking me, hey, can you send me a copy of the newspaper?
Yeah.
I was like, you realize it's going to be like a tiny set. He's like, yeah, I just want a copy. I was like, all right, Jerry, if you want, man. And now he's, going in the NFL draft and things like that. So it's weird watching these kids grow into what they are now. You see Irv Smith. And I remember going to his signing ceremony, and I think his signing ceremony was, it was like a 3 o'clock ceremony in the day because that's when Brother Martin allowed him to get out of class to do it.
See that, Jordan? We at Brother Martin, academics comes first.
Yeah, who won the state championship
baseball? I don't remember that.
Yeah. Pretty sure it was the St. Paul's Wolves.
Yeah, there was probably some cheating
involved. I don't remember any of that.
Exactly.
Holy Cross wasn't in it, so I don't care. So it was. But, I mean, I remember watching Irv, and it was, like, the biggest secret that it was an open secret that he was going to Alabama. And, like, Saban couldn't speak that day until he did it. Everybody else was signed by, like, before 11 o'clock.
Like, you had to wait.
And you had to wait for Irv.
That's right.
Like, 3 minutes later. I remember, it's just, it's wild watching these guys that I remember covering in high school. I mean, just looking at Leonard. I remember Leonard as a freshman. People ask me, who's the guy you've seen the most that kind of impressed you in high school. And it's still, like, I remember Leonard as a freshman and sophomore going for, like, 6 carries, 200 yards on teams, Brother Martin being included in that.
6 carries, 200 yards.
It was, like, the games against Brother Martin, he had games against 35. Donald's, like, he's a sophomore. He's 15 years old, and he's doing this. And to see these guys in the NFL now, it's pretty surreal.
It's incredible, Andrew. Like I said, I mean, we always talk about the talent that's grown in Louisiana. But to actually, like I said, just stood out to me. I'm just like, because they always show the pictures or they show the video of them getting the phone call with their families, and it's, wherever, Louisiana. And I'm like, my goodness.
Yep.
I mean, we're not talking like they just got drafted. We're talking early first or second rounds, man. I mean, that's incredible.
I remember last year watching, I was at Dante Jackson's party last year, and I remember Dante, like, rented out a room at a local hotel, and they had, like, a ballroom set up, and he didn't want to watch it in there, so we ended up watching it at the bar in the hotel, and it, like, people had to start, like, just coming outside. We're like, all right, mate, what's going on? And then, so everybody in the room eventually comes out, and he gets the call, and it's still a weird moment when they get the call, because you get the call, and it's like, okay, he's going to this team, but that team's still, like, 4 picks away from actually picking. So you gotta be like, we're tweeting. He's going to Carolina, or he's doing this. So, but it's such a cool moment to watch, and, I mean, this is what this state does. They produce talent, and it's not just in football. It's in basketball and baseball, and that's what Louisiana's become. It's a talent-producing state.
I started with that because, Andrew, you transitioned to basketball this season.
Yeah,
and
full-time basketball. I don't know what it's like. I didn't know what it was like to actually do one thing for an entire year.
Yeah.
It kind of got weird at times.
It's a long season. I mean, when you think about it, I bring this up all the time. Pelicans will start training camp in September. The Saints will be getting going. By the time they wrap up, hopefully, they're in the postseason in April, they're drafting.
Yeah.
Like, I tell that to people, when you think of that, an entire football season's gone, baseball is underway, they're starting, they hadn't decided the World Series champ, and then they're starting the next year, and you're still in your season.
It's crazy, because I remember, so the way it worked out for me this year, I still had to do LSU for the first month of the season. So I was still doing a couple of games. I still went to Auburn. I think it was the first 4 or 5 weeks of the football season. Then I was driving back and forth from Baton Rouge while training camp was going on here. And then you get to April. So it hasn't been a break since July. So I even had a 2 month start.
Right.
So, but when you get to it, I mean, it is a long season. You don't realize how long 82 games are. Maybe if you cover baseball and you have to do 162. Then I can, you can talk in that sense, but down here, I mean, you don't get it. And then so far in the NBA, I mean, you go from the end of the year, we're in May, it's lottery time, it's combine time.
Yeah.
You get to July, it's summer league time. You don't really have that much day off. It's almost, it's becoming to be like NFL where it's a 12-month a league year, and it, I mean, you still have playoffs going on. Your playoffs are going to end probably a week before the draft, if that. So it's a long year, and it was fun getting to that this year. I mean, before, like when I was at LSU, I'd do football, and then I'd do basketball, and I dabble in baseball. You get like a month off in June, and then it's Tiger Tour time, or, mm-hmm. It's time for this, and you're like, I got to get back on again. Yeah. But now it's, all right, before everything that happened a couple of weeks ago happened,
right?
The end of April was like, all right, what do I do yeah. now? I started talking about maybe going to do other features on mm-hmm. like some local kids or things like that. But I mean, it takes some time to get used to not really know, but you still have like a 12-month a year season now.
Yeah, no doubt. And most people, Andrew, as you'll know as you continue to cover this, I mean, it's one of the things that people enjoy, at least in yep. our media, you know, business. The off season is as exciting, if not more, than the NFL off season. Honestly, is the different storylines where this NBA season can sort of go. We'll wrap up with that at 2:45 as to how big, like outside the area, because yeah. the face of the NBA could literally change. I think yes. powers between conferences. I mean, if Golden State breaks up, what do you see and do there? So we're going to get into all of that. Obviously, we'll focus a ton on Trajan Langdon, what he had to say today. I've just gushed already through the sound that we played David Griffin, the AD ladies. So we're going to get into all that. We're going to break in 2-3 minutes. I'll just wrap up, I guess, yeah. your pit here, because this was your first full season covering the Pels.
Right.
Congratulations. You covered the leaving of AD.
Yeah.
The disaster that was.
That was pretty much the end of the curse of Lopes. Right. We've had that yeah. going on for years. I did Tulane for a couple of years, uh-huh. and I think the year I covered Tulane, CJ left, Conroy left, David Pierce left.
Nice. I had the El Gato Negro curse, but you, my friend.
Troy Dannon came. There was like seven searches I had to cover. The month I get to LSU, they lose to Coastal Carolina.
Uh-huh.
Paul Maneri may or may not leave. My first month on the football beat, Les Miles is fired. Nice. My first year covering basketball, Johnny Jones gets fired. I used to joke, if you wanted to get rid of your football coach and basketball coach, hire me. I get down here, Anthony Davis leaves.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe winning the lottery is over, but maybe the curse still lingers yeah. because I don't, you know, maybe. Maybe I'm not here next year. I don't know. Right. So maybe that's why the curse is still here.
Well, I'll tell you what. It'll be interesting to kind of see your take on the combine and the lottery having been there. The reason I bring up this is your first year as the Pels yeah. is because you got to see really a handful of things that you can extrapolate from the season. How Gentry, Drew Holiday, and some of other players handle that.
Yeah.
How the people that still kept coming. I went to the Suns-Pels game in the final week of the season.
Was that the Alvin Gentry timeout game?
Yeah, well, I just remember going there, and, you know, I was expecting like 4,000 people. It's the Suns
yeah.
and the Pels. They literally don't want to win the game. But it was entertaining. AD played, you know,
yeah.
21 points in 20 minutes, and you know, he had alley-oops. And Andrew, what stood out to me was there were people in the upper decks.
Yeah.
The lower seats, as you know, they're sold, whether they're butts in the seats or not. Those are the people that bought the season tickets, the companies and stuff. I always look at the upper level. When you have noise coming up there and the baselines are full, because the ones behind the goals yeah, are the $10 ones. But the ones there, and it was a good crowd. And I was like, you know, it just occurred to me, I'm like, people do love their hoops, and they were Absolutely. Doing it, I think, Andrew, to support the organization for what they felt was wrongly done to them. Did you get the sense and feeling that fans came out to support them and Coach Gentry and those players because they saw them playing hard?
The game after, I think, everything kind of went down, I think it was maybe it was Utah or Denver,
mm-hmm.
and I remember at halftime, I remember just all of the fans standing up and giving a standing ovation. This was back in February. And it was right after everything went down, and I was like, I've never seen a halftime standing ovation before. And
yep.
it was like they were up like, I think, 62-58.
Right.
They end up losing the game, but it was about the effort that they were showing in. And those fans that were still coming were there for the effort. They were there. They cared about that. I know people who had season tickets who didn't show up for the last month and a half of the game. And I think that's why the excitement level is where it is right now. This is a town that they're going to support a winner. They're going to support when they were in the playoffs a year ago, Smoothie King Center was rocking. It was a great place to be.
Mm-hmm.
When it's a mediocre team who's having mediocre results, you're going to get that sort of input. That's why I think when, what, the 24 hours after the lottery last week, they get 3,000, 3,200 more
season
ticket packages.
5,000 by Friday or something.
It was something, some ridiculous number of season ticket packages. And I know, I think I went on a national show and they were like, well, what does that mean that they had 3,000 tickets to sell? And I was like, they didn't have 3,000 tickets. They had 3,000 ticket packages or 5,000 ticket packages. So you got guys
10 days, 15 days, 10 game weekends,
half packages.
Yeah.
But the excitement level is there again, and it's going to be one heck of a turn next year when, Zion's first game and 99.9% sure it'll be Zion's next first game. whatever you got to quantify it as.
Right.
It's Zion's first game as a Pelican. That place is going to be electric.
Well, I brought this up as we go to our first break, Andrew, over the weekend, and I asked Jordan this on Monday if he saw it, so I'll ask you this to take us into break. Have you seen an increase in Pels wear the last couple of days? I saw a guy pull out a Hornets sweatshirt at the gym over the weekend, and it's 89 degrees. It was a Hornets sweatshirt. I mean, and there's Pels hats everywhere. Walmart, the store, the movie theater, Walgreens. I'm getting a red box. There's people wearing Pels gear.
I haven't seen anything. I was in Chicago for the combine.
Right.
I went to Atlanta for a wedding this weekend. Okay. I didn't leave my house yesterday because I was tired from all of that. But I've heard of people wearing Jamal Mashburn jerseys.
There you go.
Baron Davis
there
jerseys.
You go.
The second Zion stuff goes on sale, the city's going to explode.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. Look, that's the question. Is it blue? Is it white? Is it red? Which Zion jersey will you have? It's funny.
All three.
Because the Pelicans have retweeted what Logan Seal tweeted. Hey, at Pelicans NBA, is there any way we can just make the earned edition jerseys the official home uniforms? I mean, they're just the best. And the Pels responded with, what do y'all think? Again, being proactive and investing in your fans, listening to them. I love what they're doing.
It's a lot different right now. And I think with Griffin at the helm, it's going to continue to be different going forward.
That's Andrew Lopez. TimeSpeakUNOLA.com covers the Pels. We're talking hoops this hour. If you want to jump into the conversation, feel free. 800-998-1003. Got any questions for him? He was at the combine. He was at the lottery as well. We'll address that next. Plus, we'll play some Trajan Langdon sound and David Griffin on the AD meeting. That's next on ESPN New Orleans.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, but for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge. For the exact same high-speed networks, it's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available now at Advance Auto Parts.
Sam Wyche was a quarterback, head coach, and broadcaster in the NFL. Last year, he became a heart recipient.
My life was saved on the last day that I was supposed to be on this planet. And now I know what a miracle feels like. It changed my appreciation of every second of every day. I don't know who donated that heart, but my new heart gave me a new mission in life, and that is to get others to sign up to be organ donors. The most common thing I hear when I ask people why they haven't signed up is, I don't know, I just haven't thought about it. Well, why don't you think about it? Think about the life you might save or the life you might enhance. There are over 130 million people that have already signed up. They're men and women, all ages, all races, and they have one thing in common. They want to save lives. Please sign up to be an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov.
U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Napa Know-How. The 2019 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series is underway, and you can get caught up on the latest information for this week's race on Fridays right here, ESPN New Orleans. And it's all sponsored by Rogers Parts, locally owned, nationally known. Rogers Parts has been serving the local area for over 50 years. Get the expert analysis and latest news of this week's NASCAR racing event all throughout the season, every Friday on ESPN New Orleans, 100.3 FM.
Napa Know-How. big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Trajan Langdon introduced to local media members in a conference call this morning. The question to him, have you met with AD yet? Have you talked to him?
I do not have a pre-existing relationship with Anthony. I have not spoken with him. I am really not privy to any of that stuff right now, and it's something that Griff and I will talk about going forward. Obviously, something that's of incredible importance to us, but something that Griff has taken point on at this point in time.
All right, so that's Trajan Langdon. Andrew Lopez, TimeSpeakUnola.com with us right here. And I want to play this, and I want to get your take as to where you go from here. Because a lot of fans have a lot of opinions on it. A lot of national people have opinions on it. There's a basketball take to it. There's an emotional take to it. But this is Griffin this morning on when he and AD will meet.
Yeah, we'll visit together. We'll probably sit together in Los Angeles at some point on around the draft workouts that take place there. I don't want to get into specific dates or times or any of those things, but we'll definitely visit. And I think that's the next step, really, is to look each other in the eye and talk about what's important to us. And we're very optimistic from previous conversations with Rich Paul, his agent, and with all of the people here know what he's about. We're very confident that we have a compelling situation for him here. And if winning is what he is indeed all about, which we have every reason to believe, we feel confident that we can create the right and are creating the right environment for Anthony and, frankly, for high-caliber players of all types to want to be part of. This is something that we hope creates an energy that recruits itself, and Anthony would just be one step in that process.
And do you think you need to do any type of convincing along those same lines with a potential number one pick in the draft, or do you think that's sort of a false narrative that that there'd be any concern from the number one pick about wanting to come here?
Yeah, I'm certain that's a false narrative relative to the players that could potentially be the number one pick. We've sat with multiple players that we're looking at for that first pick, and in fact, in the case of Zion Williamson, sat with he and his family. Alvin Gentry and I sat with he and his parents the night of the lottery. The NBA had set it up that if you won the lottery, you met with Zion at a particular time, and we were able to do that. Alvin and I did that together, and Alvin and I were also together in interviewing John Morant in Chicago as well. And I think because we've sat with those kids who are both incredible human beings and all about all the right things, we know unequivocally that either one of them would be thrilled to join us in New Orleans, and they're both very much excited about the concept.
That's so great. I talk about this all the time, Andrew, about how forward-thinking the NBA is. I mean, they know. They know Zion's going one. But to hear that, to set up, hey, if you win the lottery, we'll get you a little room that you can go hang out and talk to him. Because it's a kind of a big deal for them. They want to be able to meet that. I'm going fanboy here. You were there. What's he like? What's he like? What's he like? You saw him in person. What's he like?
He walked by me and like doves flew when he entered the room. It was amazing. He walked in.
Were you awestruck? Come on, man.
I to be honest, I didn't see him until like somebody was like, oh, Zion's here. And there was like a picture that I could tell was right behind me. And I was like, I'm looking around like, oh, Zion here? Like you felt it like. So,
but it's a buzz though, right? It's a buzz.
So you're in this room and the setup, the way the lottery does now, it's a different setup than they've had in years past. In this room, there's a side for the media. You get like the back 50 chairs on this side, like tucked away in a corner. You're not by everybody else, but in front of you are all of the other prospects and the agents. And there's tons of agents in this room. And then Zion has a seat in the first row along with RJ Barrett. And then a lot of kind of, I don't know if it was fans are coming in, but like team personnels are coming in. And like the room is huge now compared to where it was before when it was just like a few people, everybody's on stage, da, da, da. The stage is bigger. Everything is bigger. And it was an incredible in that room. When you see the envelope and you see the first four people, So right. Now it's down to the four, and the four are standing there, and you realize, one, how short David Griffin is because he's standing next to Patrick Ewing and Kyle Kuzma.
Right.
So you're like, oh. And you see that first envelope go out, and it's the Lakers. Mm-hmm. And you're like, so I'm sitting, as this is happening, I'm sitting next to Will Guillory of The Athletic, Jim Eichenhofer at Pelicans.com. Before we even got in the room, we're talking about, man, if they can get like three or four.
Yep, that was me. I'd
that's
be happy
a win.
With four. Yeah.
That's a win.
Yep, absolutely.
Never did we think, like, these dudes are going to do it. So we're like, all right, three or four. Then a Knicks envelope comes out, and you're like, I look at him like,
Yeah, because right now it's Ja Morant to Zion Williamson.
It's happening.
Right. I mean, right now, when I saw that, I'm like, it's Ja Morant to Zion.
So you have won. You have won.
You have won.
And then the Memphis envelope comes out in like a – it was like an audible – first of all, there was an audible gasp when the Knicks envelope came out.
Poor Knicks.
So everybody in that room was like, oh. Then the Memphis one comes out and you're like, oh.
Oh, bleep. Gentry is now known. I keep saying the Pels ought to just capitalize on this. Make that a shirt. In quotation marks, bleep, yeah. Like, right, B-L-E-E-P, yeah.
If you want to do like the Picayune did, you could put expletive.
Yeah.
We made something off of that, so.
I mean, sell it. It's, you know?
Just the shirt that just says expletive, yeah.
Yeah.
Pelicans logo. That's it.
That's it.
You don't need anything else.
You could do it and sell it for like $10 and it goes to Gentry's like, foundation.
It can go to Gentry's like fee for when he curses and he. So the fact, here was the thing. So Gentry comes in, he yells holy bleep. Or bleep yeah, that's what it was. Bleep yeah. Bleep yeah. He yells bleep yeah, and then he high fives like three or four guys, says it three or four times, and then apologizes. God, I'm sorry. And that was the most Gentry thing to me possible. Mm-hmm. Because Gentry does that in press conferences all the time. He'll say, I don't give a bleep. And then, I'm sorry. And he just goes into, I'm like,
right.
Just let it out, man. So maybe the shirts can go to his fees for if he drops one during the year and he gets fined.
I think
they
ought to do it, man. They ought to totally do it. Just a basic white shirt, man. Bleep, yeah. People would absolutely wear it. But the reason I bring that up is because, Andrew, you were there.
Yeah.
And here in New Orleans, on the show that day, I was like, fourth. I would love fourth because I looked at where they would go. I'm like, I like Kobe White. I'm thinking that 6'5 point guard with Drew Holiday. You look at the guard play right now in the finals, in the final four teams. If you can have a backcourt that can kind of go, I was playing earlier today. You can play a little bit later when I said Warriors, Bulls. What would that be like?
Yeah.
Rodman versus Green, and then Jordan and Pippen v. Thompson and Curry. You know, I would like that. So I'm like, dude, give me that. So I'd be happy with four. And when that happened, he's FaceTiming me. I'm yelling. My kid's eating dinner. He goes, Daddy, you okay? Daddy, you okay? Because I'm just screaming. My wife's mad at me. And I'm like, we just got bleeping Zion.
How did you even control your temper, your emotion while you're in
there? I will say this. Like, I grew up, obviously, as a fan of the Hornets.
Okay.
Being from New Orleans, I grew up as a fan of the Hornets. Once I started covering the team, I put that away.
Right.
But in the moment, I just kept telling myself, I got a job to do. I got to do this. There was a moment. I'm not going to lie. There was a moment when me and, like, after everything's done, Will and I, like, just look at each other and we're like, we're going to get to cover Zion. Like, dude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, we would joke about it during the year. Because we have TVs up in Media Row.
Yeah.
And we have TVs, so the Duke games would be on.
Absolutely. I told him. We would end the show saying, tonight, Duke taking on so-and-so,
must
7 o'clock
TV.
ESPN. You had to watch
so
him
we're watching Duke, and he'd do something ridiculous. And I'm like, dude. Can you imagine those two games next year? Just he gives you a chance. You know, a lot of people, when they cover baseball games, they say – they love covering baseball because in baseball, there's always a chance that you might see something that you're never going to see again or you've never seen before. With Zion, there is a chance that you can cover something that night that you've never seen before on a basketball court. I mean, you remember that shot against Virginia where he's on the other side of the lane. And
blocks
he gets to
the three-point
corner.
Shot. Yeah, I've said that to people that say it won't translate in the NBA. I'm like, you tell me somebody in the NBA that does that on a regular basis.
There is no comp to him. In the NBA. He's 6'7", 285. I mean, the best comp that some people come up with is like a super, super, super Julius Randle who plays defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nothing like him at 6'7", 285 with a 45.
Are you surprised that so many people bring up the height? And the reason I bring that up is because, correct me if I'm wrong, but Michael Jordan kind of made a career in that first video that everyone had a copy on VHS.
Yeah.
Come Fly With Me.
Yeah.
He was 6'6", but consistently played above the rim. This guy blocks shots, and his head, his cranium, is above the rim on a blocked shot. I mean, it just I'm not gonna say it unnerves me. I just sit there. I'm like, what? It's like people just spend so much time trying to find reasons. I don't understand people that go, well, he used to develop a jump shot. He used to shoot a three. And he's like, no, do what you do. It's Griffin and Landing's job to go find the 3-point specialist,
right,
the point guard that can create space, the big that can move him out. You do what you do. As time goes, his game is going to develop naturally. AD's a different player now than when he came out of Kentucky. Jordan was a different player as years went on. It kills me. People go, well, he's got to develop. You know what he needs to do next year? Smile, show up, and put on a show for the fans that bought season tickets.
When he came back after the injury, and you're right, I just want to talk about the jump shot first. When he came back after the injury, he shot 43% from three in college year. And in his seven tournament games, in the ACC tournament and the NCAA tournament, shooting 3.5 threes a game, he shot 43.5%. The shot's going to come. And it came as he got better in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's going to come. When we talk about the height with him, to me it's more of like shot. Like, he can do all this at 6'7".
Right.
That's where I'm like, oh my, this is, he's 6'7", too. He shouldn't do this.
Right.
He's like, he is the size of an elite defensive end. And you got to think about what he is doing on the basketball court. It's right. Ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. It's incredible. Quick break. We come back. Andrew Lopez and I will continue a little bit more. He was there at the combine. What's that like? And who stood out? A couple of LSU guys maybe made a little name for themselves here as well. And plus, again, you're looking at a handful of different possible scenarios if AD decides to not have a change of heart. So what do you do? Andrew, I'll ask you, if you go Knicks, if you go Lakers, if you go other places, who are some of the young prospects that stood out to you when you were at the combine? We'll be back. It's the Sports Hangover. Andrew Lopez, Gus Kattengill, the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
The Gabriel Law Group handles wrongful death cases, cases that require an experienced personal injury lawyer. These cases involve severe injustices like police, prison violence, or accidental death cases. You need an expert legal team to help you recover lost wages, funeral expenses, and other damages. Some lawyers may overlook many details, from 18-wheeler accidents to chemical plant explosions. The Gabriel Law Group helps their clients receive the compensation they deserve. Get Gabriel and get results. Call 985-223-4400 or check them out on Facebook. Napa
Know-How. Rogers Parts, your local distributor of high-quality Napa Auto Parts, Marine, and Industrial Supplies, has what you need to keep your vehicle rolling safely down the road. Whether it's repair or maintenance, Napa has the parts to help you make your vacation destination. Getting ready for that big fishing trip, they have quality marine parts to help keep your boat going. So stop by one of Rogers Parts' five locations, Lockport, LaRose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville, and talk with one of their ASE parts specialists. Rogers Parts, they've got the Napa Know-How.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Your life is mobile. So is your bank. As a State Bank and Trust Company account holder, you can check your balances, view transactions, transfer funds, and pay bills anywhere or anytime with State Bank and Trust Company's online banking or mobility app. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking. Served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
That's one of my favorite bites Andrew Lopez, of this morning's conference call with Trajan Langdon. Was this one when he was asked the time it will take to get better?
Yes, I think so. I think that we had some of those talks. Honestly, when I interviewed for the job and I was in front of ownership, it was, sure, we want to win, but we want to build this organization the right way with the right people and have sustainable excellence. And that's something that Griff has echoed not only upon receiving the job, but also when we talked before he offered me the position. And that's something that I think is important. I don't think you can be in a win-now mode when you have to develop a culture, and there's a lot of things that need to be done in terms of bringing in the right people and making sure we're all on the bus headed in the right direction. So I think you can't skip steps. I think a lot of organizations in the past, when you look back, when you try to skip steps, it puts the organization behind. So I think that's one thing in talking to Griff that he's talked about already is we're looking for small wins day-to-day, which is bringing in the right people, making the right decisions, and being all headed in the right direction. And so that's what we're looking to do, and I think that's one important thing that we did that led to success here in Brooklyn as well. It wasn't go out and get big-name players. It was we're going to build from within, we're going to develop, we're going to find those diamonds in the rough that we think our coaching staff can develop and, you know, turn into from a G League player into, you know, a potential six-man of the year candidate and a, you know, three-point champion. I think those are the things that we did in Brooklyn, and those are the exact same things we'll look to do in New Orleans as well.
I called it audio liquid gold, Andrew, to my ears. If you're a Pels fan, I've never heard that. I've never heard that since the Hornets got here. I've never heard it when CP Mee was here, and I sure as heck didn't hear it in the Anthony Davis years. Vision, a plan, six-man, three-point winner. I mean, developing players, it's easy to grab Zion and say, all right, go at it and go get a free agent. Those are easy fixes. I loved hearing him say what I felt is what you have to do in New Orleans. Do what the Warriors did. Draft well, build your team, build the bench through the draft, and then build a consistent winner, go a la Spurs in that case. I loved hearing that.
The thing I think that a lot of Pelicans fans are going to be drawn to in that clip right there is the fact that you want to have a plan, and it's you can't go win now mode too early. And that's what Dell Demps did, whether it was on him, whether it was a director from Mr. Benson. They went to try to win too early. You made that jump in his second year to getting Drew and then trying to get Tyree and Eric and all of these pieces and Ryan Anderson. And you tried to just skip the growth process and you went to the win process. And maybe if those guys stay healthy, it works. And maybe if they stay healthy, it works. But they didn't. And that's why we're looking at David Griffin and Trajan Langdon right now instead of Dell Demps. Mm-hmm. But that's what they did in Brooklyn. And you when he got to Brooklyn, it was a 20-win team. In his first season there with Sean Marks, they won 20 wins. This year, they were 40-40, were one of the surprises of the year.
Played hard.
Number six in the playoffs. They ran into the Sixers, but they won that first game in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they changed everything. They had a three-point champion in Joe Harris. They did a lot of different things. So now, to me, that's what you need to hear. And that's Griff's message. And it, when you stop back and think about it, the Pelicans just took two of their top six guys for the executive president job and now have both of them.
Yeah.
You got Griff, and now you got Langdon under him. The knock on Langdon was his age, but now you have both. So, in a way, the Anthony Davis trade request, we can get into the trade later,
mm-hmm.
The trade request itself may end up being the best thing that ever happened to this organization because of everything that it made Miss Benson do in terms of, we got to change this, we got to change this, I have to put financial commitment into this, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth.
I call it a seismic wake-up call.
Absolutely.
It's what I've been referring it to, Andrew. I mean, it's, you know, like I said, I have no ill will. Hey, AD, go be happy, man. I mean, we've all been in relationships, friendships, work relationships. If you're just not happy, go be happy, man. It's a lot easier to go through life if you wake up in the morning and you look forward to doing what you're doing.
Right.
So if you're not happy, that's fine. I have no ill will. You know why? Because you left us in a better spot. So you honestly did. Because if you don't make the wake-up call, You're not getting that in. $800,000 in renovations to Aaron Nelson's now, you know, in charge of player health.
So I'm putting this in a story tomorrow. Yeah. That $800,000 is what Gentry mentioned yesterday.
Yeah.
I have been told it is not $800,000. It is $4,800,000. It is $4.8 million that they are Yes, $4.8 million that they are putting into the renovations inside.
That's a slight difference.
Yeah, he got the $800,000 part. He heard the $800,000 part. He forgot the four part.
I think he just didn't. It could probably shock them. Be like, yeah. Oh, great, $800,000.
But that's what they're doing.
$800,000's nice.
Aaron Nelson doing that. I mean, getting Aaron Nelson is one thing. Getting David Griffin is David Griffin didn't come cheap. Let's talk about it. David Griffin did not come cheap. Trajan Langdon did not come cheap. You are paying an extra spot now. You are putting that much money into the facility. That you're redoing that kind of side where the training room is so Aaron Nelson can be able to look out. You are doing things that are making this a winner. And if Anthony Davis is about winning.
Well, that's what it is. It's about winning.
If it's
all
about 29 winning,
teams, Andrew. See, yeah. I can't get past that.
If it's about winning.
Yeah.
If it's about, I'll say it. If it's about winning.
Yeah.
What the Pelicans have done in the last month, it's hard for me to say that you're going to have a better chance winning in another market. Maybe if you go to New York, maybe if you're going to win next year and you want to go to New York and you're going to end up teaming up with Kyrie and KD, okay, you got a super team in the East. You got to walk through the East. You're still going to have to get to Golden State. But to me, it's hard to go again. And it's even, I think Scott Kushner put this out a couple weeks ago. He's been kind of one of the he's kind of poo-pooed on the team a lot in recent years.
Yeah.
But even he has said it's hard for me to find anything that this team has done wrong since David Griffin got hired.
And again, to your point, if it's about winning. And look, let's be honest, man. Everybody has everyone's number and stuff. It's what makes me think, because it doesn't make any sense anywhere else. You're walking away from 240. You have all of these things. And again, as I bring up more than anything else, when last week we had the idiotic narrative that they're going to fail Zion. He hadn't even been drafted yet, but the team was going to fail.
Right.
They have 5-6 years, whatever the rookie contract is.
Hey, have fun with your five years.
Exactly right. It's never going to happen.
He'll sign his deal and then he'll request a trade.
Hadn't been drafted yet, but it's already a failure. And no one brings up this point. The guy right now in the NBA is probably the toughest to please would be LeBron James.
Probably.
Okay, probably. Yeah. Right? Pseudo GM. I mean, to be on his team and run that team, the guy requests full starting lineup changes.
Yeah.
Right? Not just a player or two. The man in charge of the Pelicans helped bring a championship there. Who better to understand pressure? Who better to understand the spotlight and microscope?
Yeah.
They lost two games screaming A's. The Cavs are done. Do the Cavs need to make a move? Blatt, right? Was on the, do they need to make a coaching search in first place? Who better to understand the microscope of what it's like and pressure and then deal with his agent, deal with LeBron? Zion is in the best place you can possibly imagine, I think, for that. He knows how to deal with all of this. So, yeah, to me, it just makes sense that if I'm AD and I'm still not thinking about it, somebody's told me, AD and Kyrie and KD, we'll see you in New York. I mean, there's no other way, because you bring up the point. He must know he's going to a super team.
Here's the other thing. There's nobody else probably better suited to tell AD, hey, man, you want to go play with LeBron? This is what you have to deal with when you have to go play with LeBron. You're going to... And you talk about all these markets. You want to go to New York? That's a team you put down.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go to LA?
Yeah.
I think you put Milwaukee on one of your list of the non-29 team.
Yeah, non-29.
You put Milwaukee on there to show that you can go. You wanted to go to a small market that's operated correctly.
Exactly. They don't. But why would they mess with it?
But you're going to go to New York, where the media is going to kill you for everything.
You know that Miami game where he got his first rebound in the second half?
Yeah.
How do you think that would have gone? How about that game Embiid torched him in the first half at Philly?
What about the 12 games this year where you left the bench at one point?
Yeah.
Now, you ultimately came back this year, but there were 12 games.
But the games you don't talk to the media after games. How do you think that's going to go?
You want to sit around, have the media sit around for an hour and then not talk? Cool. All right, buddy. Let's see how New York handles that compared to how we handle that.
Exactly.
Like, it's me, Kushner, and Will. Like, we're like, all right, dude, like, we'll talk to you tomorrow, but like, just don't let us, like, just tell us, you can tell us.
Yeah.
Tell me you don't want to talk. And I'll just say, AD said he didn't want to talk. Don't make me wait around for an hour and then say, I don't want to talk.
Yeah.
Just tell me.
How do you think that would go over
New
with
York,
Mike Francesa?
New York's not going to do that real well. Exactly. Boston's not going to handle that. L.A. is not going to handle
no.
that. But you want to go play with LeBron? You have to take everything that comes with playing with LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take every little thing that comes with playing with LeBron, and there's no man better suited to tell him about that than David Griffin. And if it's about winning, I don't see a better spot for him. You know, unless he's going to New York and forming a super team and he can win next year. But if he's looking long-term, plus all the money he's going to make.
Again, yeah.
It doesn't seem like a better situation
we'll
right now.
We'll take the final break, Andrew. You see how quickly an hour goes. And then when we come back, though, let's just kind of take a look at just what the NBA can look like in this offseason and all the different quick possibilities Pels have. I'm excited, man. I really honestly am. I'm like, have the meeting already. Come on, let's get going. I'm ready for
the meeting.
And
we know where, but we don't know when.
Well, exactly right. Look, all I know is this. We're inside of a month. Yesterday was 1 month, the June 20th. It's the 21st. We're inside of a month until officially we will hear Adam Silver say the New Orleans Pelicans select Zion will, and the place will go. Wherever we're watching, it'll be nuts. I mean,
absolutely.
It's going to be nuts. Sports Hangover closes out next on ESPN New Orleans.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same day appointments are available on weekdays with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Are you the parent of a blind child? The National Federation of the Blind knows blindness does not have to hold your child back. With support, education, and mentoring, your child can turn her dreams into reality. We know because we are parents who have made it happen. Visit us at nfb.org/parents to learn how we can help you and your family. National Federation of the Blind. Live the life you want.
This is Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. There's history in the making right here in Louisiana. Did you know the world's first submarine was designed and built in Louisiana? Check her out and learn about her story at the Capitol Park Museum in Baton Rouge, or peer into Napoleon's death mask at the Cabildo in New Orleans. Sports fan? Then you need to see the memorabilia from the greatest coaches, athletes, and programs at the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame in Natchitoches. Plan your trip today at LouisianaTravel.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Office of Tourism.
Thursdays have lunch with the Sports Hangover at our ESPN Lunch Club as we're live at Vinny's in Metairie, 3217 Ridgelake Drive. Each and every Thursday, we'll do the show live from Vinny's, where you can enjoy delicious fresh wraps, burgers, and more. Vinny's is also home to the best happy hour in town, 3 to 7 p.m. every day. And that happy hour includes signature cocktails. Stop in this and every Thursday at Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie, for the Sports Hangover, 12 to 3 p.m. on ESPN New Orleans.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Andrew Lopez, HouseBigUnola.com. _ Andrew _ Lopez, right?
Yep. There was too many Andrew Lopez's out there when I got on Twitter.
You were at the Combine. Stayed there after the lottery. What was it like, man? What's the NBA Combine like?
It's interesting when you're sitting down and you watch, like, Larry Bird stand up and walk away one way. You're watching all these other guys. You're like, Michael Finley walk by and talk to us. Ja Morant actually sat next to us for a second to watch a couple of games. Mm-hmm. You actually see Taco Fall in person and you realize what 7'7 actually looks like.
Big.
Door frames were not made for guys like Taco Fall. Like, we're walking down a hallway, uh-huh, and we look through and we're like, is that Taco Fall? And you can't see the top of his head. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's Taco Fall. You can't, like, he's outside. He has to duck to get in. That's what it was like. Yeah. But it was nice to see some of the guys I covered it. I mean, you saw Tremont Waters make a big jump into what
I couldn't
did.
Find him on a mock draft, dude.
You could find him a lot now.
Right.
You could find him a lot. He's jumped up into. I think Kevin Pelton at ESPN has him outside his top 30 now. I've seen him go as high as 36 in mock drafts. And, you know, he's literally mock drafts. He may be the prospect that took the biggest jump in Chicago. Yeah.
And that's why, look, it's important to go there and hoop, to go show what you can do. And I think that's unique about hoops, is that the NFL Combine,
yeah,
you can help yourself in interviews. You can, I can see how much you bench. I can see how fast you are. But in basketball, you're playing games.
Yeah.
So I'm playing against opponents that are going to be drafted as well. If I stand out, I can really help myself.
You're looking at guys who maybe the scout from the Rockets didn't come to Baton Rouge this year.
Right.
But maybe he was out covering. Maybe his job is the West Coast.
Right.
But he goes to Chicago and he's like, who's this kid from here? And they start doing your homework. And that's what I think is unique about the combine. I mean, it's like if you go to like a baseball showcase or something like that, you're going to play an actual game. This is actual 5-on-5 games. And it's something the combine changed a couple of years ago. And you see actual guys moving very high in the drafts now because of their combine performances.
Right. And conversely, that's why a lot of agents don't want them to in case they get exposed in certain areas.
If you're a guy who's 12 or 13, you're gonna stay right there. That's why those guys who are playing.
They're going to get dunked on. Yeah, exactly. Like, Nas Reed's another player that I thought in the NCAA tournament absolutely helped this stock, especially when he went up against a guy from Maryland who was considered to be a lottery pick.
Yep.
I thought he outplayed him. You got to see his athleticism. He can shoot threes. I think so much raw talent there, coached right, paired with the right front court help. That guy can really be something. Pels apparently even talked to him.
Pels talked to him, and he had a very nice interview with the Pels. A couple of sources close to him were telling me he's kind of owning up to how he got to LSU, and he got to LSU overweight. I think he was around probably 270 when he got to LSU. He had to slim down before he got on the court. Once he did that, that's when he saw the SEC side of things. When you saw him take that jump in SEC play, that's why he's all freshman. For him, the NBA is trending in his direction. Maybe going in at 256 was not ideal for him. You would like maybe like to see him under 250, but I mean, he's the same size as Julius Randle right now at 6'9", 256. Julius is a little bit lighter, but you liked what you saw from him, especially the NBA is trending in his direction. Mm-hmm. It's trending in the 3-point shooter direction for a big, and that's what Nas can do.
As we close out, Andrew, got about 2 minutes left here. And again, we're going to bring you back. It's not just right
because I know where you are now, so I can just drop
there's
in.
There's so much to get into, but just again, if you can do it in a minute and a half, the different options you have, man, that make it exciting if you're the Pels, if you have to go the route of, okay, let's move on.
Let's say AD says, I'm done, I want out. Yeah. Cool.
Deuces.
You can go to Boston. Jason Tatum's probably on the table now.
You think he still is, even if Kyrie doesn't come back?
Because you have the Knicks, because you have the Lakers, because you maybe have Brooklyn. Now, you have Trajan Langdon, so you might have Brooklyn could be on the table. Denver could be on the table. Toronto could be on the table. A lot of things could be on the table. Jason Tatum's going to have to be on there. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, 14, 20, 22, the Memphis pick in a couple years. That might be your best deal. If you want to go to the Knicks, you could bring Mitchell Robinson home. You could bring Kevin Knox here. You get the number 3 pick.
I like that.
The Lakers.
I don't like
the much you talked about with the Lakers. You still get the number 4 pick plus Ingram, whoever else. Maybe you flip Lonzo to Chicago or Phoenix, bring something else in. Maybe one of those teams decides, I want the number 2 pick so I can give the number 2 pick to the Pelicans. You get Ja Morant in that deal.
See, now that's where I'm thinking.
There's a lot of things that can happen. It's why at the Combine, the Pels got Zion, and David Griffin was up at 6 o'clock the next morning because he had meetings to do. He had agents to see. He had prospects to see. They were at the combine in full force because they know they're not just scouting Zion Williamson. They're not just scouting 39 and 57. They're scouting a lot of picks in that first round.
See, I'm glad that's why I got you here because you were there. You got to see it because that tells you you're right. Because let me tell you something. I do daydream. I daydream.
Daydream about that number 2 pick coming here. That's what you want to daydream
Ja
about.
Ja Morant, Zion, Drew, that's a nice head start.
That's pretty good.
Because Ja just has that attitude. I love it.
And he thinks he's the best player in the draft. You want people who think they're better than Zion.
Put both of them on there.
Let them figure it out.
Stop it. Anyway, you know, OKC once had a team like that. Remember?
Man, if they still had that team.
All three wound up being MVPs. Andrew Lopez, _Andrew_Lopez. Thanks so much, dude.
No problem.
Will see you not next week, but the week after.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, sounds good. Sports Hangover is done. Matt Moscona, after further review, is next on ESPN New Orleans.